There's been a major legal victory for a team of researchers at the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard. The U.S. Patent Office has ruled they can keep their patents for their work on what's called CRISPR. CRISPR is a groundbreaking gene editing technology that could lead to new medical treatments. The ruling came in a dispute over whether researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, had exclusive rights to it. The Patent Office said the work being done in California and Massachusetts was different enough to warrant different patents. For more on the ruling and its implications and the money involved, we're joined by patent law expert Professor Paul Gugliuzza of the Boston University School of Law. Professor, thanks very much for coming into the studio this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So help us understand how the Patent Office came to this conclusion.
Sure. So the proceeding that was going on here was called an interference. It's basically the way that the Patent Office resolves disputes between two parties that claim to have invented the same thing. So the parties filed a series of motions. There was oral argument a few months ago. And a panel of three judges on what's called the Patent Trial and Appeal Board, these are just sort of expert patent lawyers within the Patent Office, decide whether or not the two parties invented the same thing.
All right. This is called by many people a major ruling in one of the biggest biotech cases of our time. Help us understand why.
It's just because the technology has so much promise for therapeutic applications. And because it has that promise for therapeutic applications, it's incredibly valuable. You know, people are saying this is a $1 billion technology. So that makes the stakes of the case very high. And it makes, you know, the victory here very important for Harvard and MIT.
Because assuming it plays out the way many people think it will, they're going to end up with lots of money in licensing fees.
Correct.
How rare is a proceeding like this?
These proceedings are extremely rare. The Patent Office receives about 500,000 patent applications every year, and it only declares about 50 interferences.
Some people believe that the University of California is going to file an appeal in this case. Do you think that'll come?
I think they almost certainly will. Again, because the stakes are so high and there's so much potential money at stake here, I can't imagine they wouldn't at least try to appeal.
What are their chances?
It's hard to say. You know, generally speaking, an appeal in this case would go to a court called the United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. They sort of specialize in patent cases and a few other matters. In any given year, there's typically only about three appeals of these types of interference proceedings. They're very rare, so it's hard to make any generalizations from that. But generally speaking, the Patent Office has a pretty high rate of affirmance at the appeals court. So I would say the chances of a successful appeal are not good, but you never know.
As I understand it, firms that license technology from the University of California lost stock value yesterday. But firms that license technology from the research out of Harvard and MIT gain stock value. Are they the big winners?
It would seem so, yes. Anyone who has a license from the Harvard and MIT group now has a license to a patent that's not going to be knocked out by UC's claims to the patent. So they seem to be in good shape, and that helps the value of the technology. If you've sort of placed your bets on the UC technology, you are perhaps hoping that they could invalidate the patents owned by Harvard and MIT, and that doesn't look like it'll be the case, at least not in this proceeding.
So how do you imagine that this finding is going to impact research? Is this going to spur new research, or is this going to slow research?
Well, I think the reality is this research is being done in major research universities, and you know their mission is to sort of further human knowledge and let future researchers build on the innovations, some of which they've patented here. The real potential roadblocks or where we'll really see this effect is, as you just mentioned, on the commercial side of things, where the licenses may be more or less valuable depending on the strength of the underlying patents. But I think the research will continue, and these universities have been good and hopefully will continue to be good about allowing researchers to use this technology even if it's covered by a patent.
Beyond the possible or the likely appeal by the University of California in this case, do you think that we've heard the last of this legal fight or not?
Absolutely not. So the University of California still has pending a patent application that would essentially preempt Harvard and MIT's application, because California essentially says they are entitled to a patent on all applications of CRISPR, whereas the Harvard and MIT patent only covers sort of more specific applications of CRISPR. So if the California group were actually granted that patent, it would sort of preempt Harvard and MIT's patent, and then those licenses to the California group's patents would be much, much more valuable.
So more to come.
More to come for sure.
Paul Gugliuzza is a patents expert and teaches at the Boston University School of Law. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming in.
Happy to be here.